this is your first time, welcome to Bethel. My name is Lance. So glad you guys are here with us today. Before we jump into the message, just want to give you a quick update of how you can get plugged in really to the life of our church. We have something we call here Starting Point. We have a saying that says your journey begins in Starting Point. Starting Point really is the first step to get you plugged into the life of our church. In fact, next Sunday is when a new Starting Point launches. So if you just fill out a connection card, put your name, email, best phone, turn it in a connection point table, we'll get in contact with you and give you all the information that you need. Also, don't forget, check us out on Facebook. Everything you need to know about Bethel, what's going on, stay updated, is all on Facebook. Guys, we're going to be today in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, and I'm going to read verses 12 through verses 23. I promise you I'll read quickly. I need you guys to be engaged with me this morning. Amen. Because as you can tell, I am not talking very well, but I'm here and this is going to be a great message. God is going to speak to you today. When we come to church, listen to me, you should come with expectation. Our God is a God of communication. He's a God that speaks and he wants to talk to you. To you, wherever you're at in your relationship with God, he wants to speak directly to you. So let's approach this word today. Let's approach this message with great expectation, saying, God, I'm going to focus in. I'm not going to look at my phone. Amen. I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to be on social media unless you're typing something I said that inspires you. You can do that. We'd love for you to do that. But you're going to focus in today because God's going to talk to you today. So Exodus 33, starting verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, he says, see. So let me tell you what's happening before I jump in here. So Moses is leading the people of Israel, and he's come to Mount Sinai, and God's wanting to take the people of Israel into the promised land, all right? So here we go. Here's Moses' conversation with God. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, Lord, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet, God, you have said, I know you. God's telling Moses, or Moses is telling God, God, you said to me that you know me by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, Lord, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people, the nation of Israel. And God said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said, Lord, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from here. For how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses says, please, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, reveal yourself to me. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot, God saying to Moses, you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Father, help us as we study your word, Lord, to be attentive, Lord, what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be talking about in this series, really the secret. We're going to be looking at the secret that men and women in the Old Testament, really what they possessed to help them trust God in a greater way, grow in their relationship with God, and actually fulfill the plan of God or the call of God on their life. And today we're going to be looking in the Old Testament character that a lot of you guys are familiar with, and we already read them right there, and this is this guy named Moses. But first, we have some bags here on stage with me this morning. Now, these bags obviously are some restaurants and some fast food restaurants here in town. And if you know anything about fast food restaurants and good restaurants, there definitely is a distinct difference between the two. Would you agree? Now, this right here probably is my favorite restaurant. If you ever want to bless Pastor Lance, this right here. You want to buy me something, buy me a gift card. Now, it's got to be more than $20 because you cannot eat for $20 at Longhorn Steakhouse. You need at least $50. So bring $50 because I'd love to take my wife. If you want me to bring me $20, I'll go alone, but I won't tell her. Longhorn Steakhouse, one of my favorite places to go. Also, we have with Outback. You guys like Outback? Outback's a great restaurant. The bad part about them, they're sitting right behind Longhorn. You never see them. This is a place that I don't like, but some of you might. Cheddar's. Any of y'all been to Cheddar's before? Come on, come on. I don't like Cheddar's, though. And the reason why, if you work for Cheddar's, praise God, but I don't like Cheddar's. And the reason why is because Cheddar's has a great environment. When you walk in, man, it looks like almost like you're going to a Longhorn when you walk into Cheddar's. The problem is I think their food tastes like Cracker Barrel, so it doesn't work for me. So poor Cheddar's, they don't get my props. Now, comes the fast food restaurants, Captain D's. Dee and I love Captain D's. Man, Captain D's is amazing. We also have McDonald's with us. McDonald's, good while going down, but it'll kill you. But hey, it tastes good anyways. Now this right here, this is what I used to go to when it was late night, 1 o'clock in the morning. Y'all remember Taco Bell? Oh, Lord. That was my late night right there, Jenna. That's where I used to go. Now, I never go there anymore because I don't want to. Nah, it's not good. But there is a distinct difference between good restaurants and a fast food restaurant. And the difference is pretty obvious, isn't it? This restaurant here, I can go, or this restaurant here, I can go and order a two-piece fish meal, coleslaw, French fries. The problem is I'll feel full for about 30 minutes, and then what happens? I'm hungry all over. I need to go back and get some more. The difference between these and these is I can go here and get full, but I can go here and get full and be satisfied as well. See, here I can just be full. But with here, man, I can be full and satisfied. The problem is when I go to these restaurants, it actually does, it takes some time for my meal to come out. Now, we love things, especially in our world today. Technology, I love technology. It's helping us get the gospel around the world, but it is destroying us. Technology, because of technology, social media, all of these things, our attention spans are getting less and less. We cannot pay attention. We cannot focus in. We have greater anxiety. Our anxiety level is higher today. But everything is why? Because it's so fast. We want everything fast. I got to have my food faster. In fact, now you can get apps. You can get on your app and you can show up at the restaurant or the coffee shop, and what happens? They have it there for you already. We want faster internet speed. I'm on a plane flying across this nation and I'm getting upset because I'm on Southwest and my entertainment package is not moving fast enough. Pastor Lance, you idiot, you're 40,000 feet in the air. It's going to be a little bit slow. But that's just how we live our life today, don't we? I want it now. It's got to be fast. Social media, all of these things. And it's the same when I get hungry. When I'm hungry, the temptation is, I know it's going to take longer here. So the temptation as I'm driving here is to what? Stop by here. Let me just stop by because I know it'll be quicker. The problem is, this may fill me for the moment, but it's never going to completely satisfy me. So what I want us to do today is I want us to take, since we all love our stomachs, I want us to take this example, and I want us to bring it into our relationship with God. Because the fact of the matter is that the pace of life and how quick we want things, if you don't know it, it does not translate to your relationship with God. Because what we do is we come with this high-speed life, I want it now mentality, and then we approach this awesome God named Jesus, who has been ruling and reigning for over millions of years, meaning that he is not in a hurry. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He has a plan. He's working his plan. And guess what? Jesus is not in a hurry. In fact, we even see one of his friends, as we read the New Testament, Lazarus died. Jesus waited 2 more days to go see him. Why? Because he's not in a hurry. And what we think, though, is that when we get right with Jesus, I'm just going to carry this lifestyle that I'm living into my relationship with Christ. And because God's all powerful, sure, he's just going to speed things up and help me get to where I'm going very much, much faster. That's exactly right. God just doesn't work like that. See, the old saints of old, there was a secret that they possessed that actually allowed them to allow the process of God to work in their life. And I know God's all powerful, but we can get ahead of God a lot in our own lives. We can move outside his will, outside his plan. We can get ahead of him. And we can actually leave God behind because why? I got to get there and I got to get there now. This guy that we're going to look at this morning, we saw it here in Exodus 33. It's this guy named Moses. Now, before God came to Moses, you have to understand, Moses was living the good life. Moses, actually, he was an Israelite, but he was raised by Egyptian parents. His dad was Pharaoh. So that means he got everything that the nation of Egypt was offering. He rode horses all day, probably shot basketball all day long, ate anything he wanted. But now here comes this supernatural being that really he had never heard of before called God. He shows up in this burning bush, and he totally wrecks Moses' life. There's nothing like a clear calling from the Lord that will wreck your life. God, I mean, whew, Lord, he will wreck your life. He wrecks Moses' life saying, Moses, I love that you're enjoying all the pleasures of Egypt, but I got a plan for you. And your plan is not just to sit here and do nothing. Your plan is to be used by me. So Moses, I want you to lead this people called the Israelites out of bondage, and I want you to lead them into, I have a promised land for them. I have somewhere that I want to take them. Egypt, obviously we see Moses, he goes to Pharaoh, the 10 plagues happen, miracle after miracle from these 10 plagues. Then he begins to lead the people of Israel out. They come to the Red Sea. We know about the Red Sea parting. The people of Israel walk through. Here comes the nation of Egypt. What happens? Water closes over, destroys, annihilates these soldiers that were following them. Keep going. Obviously, in the desert, they're walking around following God. There's a pillar of fire that's keeping them warm by night. There's a cloud that's covering them by day. They come. They're getting hungry. God sends bread from heaven to feed these massive amounts of people, millions of people. More than that, they get thirsty after eating the bread. God actually causes water to come out of a rock. All of these miracles are happening. They're watching the hand of God move in their life. And Moses leads them to Mount Sinai. This is where we get Moses in Exodus 33. Here's Moses. They're on Mount Sinai. When they get to the mountain is on fire. The mountain is blazing. It's on fire. There is smoke. There's thunder. There's lightning. There's this massive loud trumpet sound. The mountain actually begins to shake. It is a sight to be seen. And the people of Israel look to Moses and say, Moses, we're scared to death. We're not going up there. We're sending you. So here goes Moses. Moses actually goes on top of the mountain. And as Moses is on the mountain, what's actually happening is Moses is getting what's called the law of the Lord. Or we could call it just simply the Ten Commandments. See, there's three different types of laws in the Old Testament. You had ceremonial law, civil law, and you had moral law. The ceremonial laws have all been taken away in Jesus. There's no more ceremony. We don't have to do certain things to come into God's presence. It's all been removed because of the finished work of the cross. Then you have civil law. In the United States of America, we have our own civil law. We don't function by the civil law that the nation of Israel did. But the moral laws, which is what the Ten Commandments are, they actually carry over into New Testament living, our relationship with Christ. So this is what Moses was receiving. And the reason why God was giving Moses the law is because from the beginning, you need to understand this, from the beginning, it was never God's plan for just Moses to be used by God. He wanted to use the entire nation. This was his people. He wanted not just to dwell with Moses, he wanted to dwell with the whole entire nation. He wanted his presence to be with them, to surround them. But they couldn't because why? They were sinful. So therefore, God gives them this law not to control their behavior, but the law actually reveals the very character of God. It reveals the nature of God. In fact, it shows up in the New Testament that the law is our tutor that brings us to Jesus. See, as we look at the laws, we look at the Ten Commandments, we see, I broke that one, I broke that one, I broke that one. Oh, Lord, I am not doing very well. Therefore, then we have Jesus as our great Savior. The law brings us to the understanding that we are in need of a Savior. And once we get right with Jesus, now God's presence comes and it consumes us. God wanted not just Moses to go in the promised land. He wanted his people to go into the promised land. So he gives them the law. But the whole time that Moses is on this mountain, the people of Israel begin to grow impatient. They begin to get hungry. They started wanting some things. And see, what you have to look at is every time leading up to this point, they would always go to Moses to meet their need. Moses, I'm thirsty. Moses, I'm hungry. Moses, it's too hot. Moses, it's too cold. Moses, this army's face is coming against us. Every time they would go to Moses. But now, guess what? They can't find Moses. He's nowhere to be seen. And so what do? They get impatient. They're not willing to stay hungry. They get impatient. They go to Aaron. They say, Aaron, here's some gold. Make us a God that we can serve, that can meet our needs. Make us a God that can meet our expectation, because we don't know what's happened to this Moses. Maybe God is confused. Maybe God lost his GPS system and we're lost out here. He doesn't know where we're going. The whole time that they're talking to Aaron about building this golden calf, remember what God's doing? God is giving Moses the very plan to lead his people into their promised land. But they are choosing to rebel and to begin to do their own thing and to move outside of God's plan and begin to do things on their own. They got impatient. They make this golden calf. And as Moses, and they begin to worship this golden calf so loud, they throw a big party. People are cheering. People are worshiping this golden thing. And God begins to hear it. And as Moses is coming down off the mountain, there's this young man actually waiting on Moses. His name is Joshua. And Joshua also, he hears the noise. And he says, I hear a sound. It's a sound of war. Moses thought he was wrong, but actually Joshua was right. It was the sound of them warring against God. God, you're taking too long. God, you're not moving fast enough. God, I'm growing impatient. I'm hungry. And what we begin to see is, as you see, there is a distinct difference between a fast food restaurant and a good restaurant. We begin to see that there is a distinct difference between Moses' relationship with God and the people of Israel's relationship with God. See, Moses had a secret. You know what Moses' secret was? Moses' secret is that he was willing to stay hungry until God moved. The people of Israel, they were not willing to stay hungry. They wanted it now. My way. God, forget you. I want to do that my way. And we begin to see that there is a difference. See, friends, here's the thing. All of us are hungry for something. All of us are looking for something. All of us get up and we work hard. We go to work. We're either a stay-at-home mom. We go work a job, stay-at-home dad. But we're all dreaming and working for something. We all want our kids to be successful. We all want to do good on our job. We're all hungry for it. But the problem is, on our way, we're serving God. We're living for him. Get this. We're on our way to a good, satisfying meal. But on the way, because we're hungry, God, this is taking too long. What do? We stop off over here. And what happens is that we get full for the moment, but we're never full and satisfied. This is why we go from job to job. This is why we think the next thing is going to bring satisfaction. Listen, it is a lie. Your next promotion, your next job, that new relationship, it's not going to satisfy you. It may fill you for the moment, but it's never going to be full and satisfied. This is why we have addictions to like online shopping. Ladies, this is what you oftentimes face. Online, you shop, you go to Kohl's, you go to wherever your favorite place is. And you shop, 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 shop. What's going on? You're hungry. And you think those new pair of shoes, those new clothes, me and that new car, me and that new woman. Uh-oh. You think. Yeah, it'll fill you for the moment, but let me tell you what it'll do. It'll also leave you like this will, a lifetime of regret. It'll taste good going down, but it'll leave you a lifetime of heartache. We're hungry. You're hungry today, but are you willing to be like Moses and simply wait till God to move? Moses comes down. He takes these Ten Commandments. He actually throws it at this golden calf. And he does something so interesting. He actually takes this golden calf. He grinds it up. He puts it into the drinking system of the Israelites, and he makes them drink this powdered gold. Why in the world did Moses do that? See, we know today through scientific study that when Moses took that gold and ground it a certain way, when they came to this water to drink it, the water was actually red. So here we have a picture of people that need forgiveness of their sins, needing to be full of the right thing, coming to a water that is red. What does that point to? Our Jesus. What Jesus has done for you and I. See, it's Jesus that really begins to fill us. And ultimately, he's the one that will satisfy us. Not that relationship, not that job offer, whatever you think that thing may be. It's him, friend. It's him. This is what Bo, this young man standing up here, was talking about. I thought this, I thought that, but when I really accepted him as Lord and I gave up everything, when I absolutely, completely surrendered and said, God, I want your way, that's when God began to be full and satisfied. How could Moses, because as you read this, actually, what you see is Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and he didn't eat or drink one thing. He comes down, he gets upset, and guess what? He throws the Ten Commandments at the cow, but then he goes back up. And he's there another 40 days, 80 days. He's without food and water. 80 days. I don't know about you, that's a long time, 80 days. What was it that allowed Moses to stay hungry and not run to something else besides God to fill him? We see it right there in Exodus 33. See, Moses was hungry, but he was hungry for the right thing. Moses comes to God and he says, God, you say to me that you want me to bring these people up, that you want me to go to the promised land. You want me to take them. But Lord, you have not revealed to me who's going to help me. Moses is a smart man. He knows that there's a million people I'm trying to lead and I need help. And these people are driving me crazy. They're coming to me asking me, do this, do that. Lord, I'm trying, but it's just not working. What's going on? They've rebelled against you. I only left for 40 days, and look how they're acting. Who are you going to send with me? But what's happening is Moses is actually leading into something. See, Moses is wanting to tell God, God, really, I've realized it's not a person that I need. It's you that I need with us. And he begins to talk about, God, Lord, I've realized that I'm hungry and I need your presence. I don't need another human being. I don't need another miracle to happen. I don't need you even to answer my prayer. Lord, I've realized I need you. God, can I have your presence? And God says to Moses, Moses, sure. See, God desires to be with you and I, guys. He desires to live amongst us. Sure, Moses. Sure, I'll come. Because you've asked for this, I will give it to you. But Moses is like us. He wants a guarantee. God, can you just show me? Can you show me your glory so I can see that what you're saying is true? And I love God's response. Moses, yes. I'll do exactly what you want me to do. Now, Moses, I don't want to kill you. So I'm not going to show you completely who I am because no man can see God and live. But I got this place prepared for you, Moses. It's called the rock. I'm going to place you on this rock. You're not just going to be standing on this rock, Moses. Actually, there's going to be two clefts. They're going to cover you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my hand, I'm going to put it over your eyes, and I'm going to pass before you. And as I pass before you, it's really, Moses, all of my goodness, all that I am is going to pass before you. And Moses, you're not going to be able to see my face. You're only going to be able to see my back parts. And Moses said, that's perfect, God. God places his hands on Moses. He passes before him. And that was enough for Moses to say, now I know that you're with me. Pastor Ron, you can come on up. See, here's the good news. The good news, as Hebrews talks about in chapter 3, is that you and I have a better Moses. We have Jesus Christ. And in Christ, We don't just see the back parts of Jesus. Jesus, when he was crucified right before our very eyes, straight in front of us. His blood ran for you and I, so that you and I can have a guarantee. See, the good news for us is that God is not just with you. He lives now on the inside of you. It's one thing to be with someone. It's another thing to actually live inside someone. This Jesus, his presence, his power, all that he is, comes and it takes up residence in us. It lives on the inside of us. This is the secret, friend, that you and I have. That when we come to him, we get his fullness, as the book of John says. It says the fullness of God has come. Not just a partial part of God. The fullness of God has come. And when we receive him, Christ as our Lord, we receive his fullness. So how do we do this, Pastor Lamb? Turn to John chapter 6. John 6. And I don't know about you, but when I got right with God, I begin to see all the things in my life that I went to try to feel this hunger that I had. You know, I'm not going to turn there, but John 4, you see this woman. This woman at the well. And this woman, she comes to this well and she's broken. She's hurting. Because she's been hungry. But her hunger has led her to what I like to call a familiar spirit. She's been in relationship after relationship after relationship. We actually find out she's had 5 husbands. And she's actually dating someone else right now, and it's not her husband. She's living with someone. Here's this woman, broken, but all she knows to go to is some man to fill this need that she has. She's full for a little bit, but eventually, what happens? That relationship wears out. Jesus knows this woman's past. In fact, he brings it up to her. He's the one that tells her about it. He says, "Woman, you've had 5 husbands, and the one you're currently with is not your husband." She perceives, "Man, you must be a prophet." Jesus begins to talk about this living water that he offers. And she says, "I want this living water. How can I get it? How can I get it?" And he begins to tell her that as you receive me, as you accept me, what I've done, he says, a wellspring of living water will come out of you. Something that's going to cause you to be full, but also satisfied. Right there, she gets right with Jesus. And it was the power of Jesus coming to live on the inside of her that gave her the power to break the things that were destroying her in life. And Jesus says, "Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." She gave her that power. And I want that power. John chapter 6, verse 53. Jesus is actually talking about the Israelites, what they went through. But Jesus is going to talk about, see, we saw that the Israelites drank that river and it turned red. Here we have Jesus saying something very similar. He says, "Truly I say, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." What? Meaning what? I'm going to satisfy you. It's going to fill you. "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." There we have it. Not just with us, but in us. "As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will have life. He will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as the fathers, not as those in Israel, but we just read about it. Ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." What's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about feeding on what he's done for us. Now, obviously, we don't eat Jesus' flesh, drink his blood. That would be weird. Jesus is not weird. We eat this Bible. It's right here. We eat his flesh. We feed on his presence. You understand what I'm talking about today? God wants to fill us. But are you hungry for him? See, it was the hunger of the Israelites that revealed their true heart. All they wanted was their need to be met. They didn't want God. Jesus said, don't search for the food that perishes, but for that which can bring eternal life. So many of us, we're on search, we're looking, but yet we're hungry, but yet we're going to the wrong thing. Jesus today wants to redirect us. He takes us to Him and say, I'm everything you've been looking for. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning? We're going to sing a song. Pastor Ron's going to lead us. Here's my encouragement to you. Just begin to release things. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit is talking to you, just ask Him the question. Let's bow our head. Let's ask Him the question. Holy Spirit, is there something that I have been feeding on besides you? What is a relationship in my life? Is there some addiction that I have? Lord, what is it that I've been going on in me that has caused me to not feed on the right thing? Today, Jesus, I want to turn my affection, my hunger, and my heart to you. Like Moses, I'm willing to be hungry, but until you move. Let's sing this song. Pastor Ron.